Message, M031, 7 Areas of Overcoming. A word given by Cecil J. DeCille, 7th of March, 1971.
Let us pray, Father, we come into thy presence with bowed hearts, broken on a contrite spirit. Thou hast promised that thou wilt not despise. Break now to us, Lord God, the bread of life, that our souls may be satisfied. Lord God, may thy kingdom come within us, as it is in heaven. Lord, let us eat that bread till this comes to pass. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I want to speak to you, brethren, about the 7 areas of overcoming. We are told we must put on the whole armor of God. Just find that in Ephesians for me. And we will read that as our chief. Ephesians 6, eh? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. In the evil day. I want you to notice that very carefully. In the evil day. That means there is a special evil day that this thing is referring to. Where was I now? Evil day. And having done all to stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, praise be to God. Some of us would even query, where did Paul get all this? Praise God. I hope the Lord is going to lead us into most of this. Now, there are 7 areas in which we must overcome. I'm not good at drawing anything. And this would be neck. I bet you could do better. Good, I got it there. That's your shield, you see. And how do you draw a sword now? Something looking like a machete. I just want to get the first points. Good. Now, praise the Lord. That isn't pretty. Now, we are going to think of 7 points. The first point is above. The second one to the right hand. Third to the left hand. Fourth before. Fifth behind. The sixth below, beneath your feet, and the seventh inside. Amen. Amen. Now, we are told by God to put on the whole armor. The helmet of salvation, you see. Not very pretty, but it bears the point out. Good. Now, we find, I know you must know this too in life, that whenever the enemy strikes at you in one way and he cannot get you, he strikes at you in another way. And whenever you have overcome the devil in your flesh, in your own body, then everything around you gives you trouble. And all the people you have to deal with become troublesome. Because, you see, he must test us on seven different areas. And any time we overcome the devil in seven points, we are counted as the overcomers. God counts us as the overcomers. It's not necessary that he has to strike you in one specific point after the other, as I put it here. But he might hit you in number five or number three, but you have got to be tested. Now, I was explaining something to the brethren last night, and I think in explaining this, I might as well explain that a little to you about heaven. What is happening on earth now is what happened in heaven some time ago. We don't know how many years ago that happened, but the same that is happening on earth, it happened already in heaven. Now, God knew that one of his beings would make a rebellion. God knew it, but he could not take away the freedom of choice in order to prevent them not rebelling. Because God was determined to have beings who would serve him, not because he was God, but because they wanted to serve him. God is still determined this afternoon that he will have men and women to serve him through all the eternal ages, because they so badly want to serve God. Not because they are compelled to serve God, not because God put a built-in something in them that programmed them so that they had to serve God. For God wants no robots. He just don't want a robot. He just doesn't want someone who he says go and the person go because he got to go. But he wants you to go because you want to go. And so this is the reason we have things so hard when we try to serve God, because God has got to allow us to be tested in every point so that we can be proven. Amen. And it's like passing examinations. You are going for medicine, or you're going for any profession, and you have got to study so many years, and periodically you come to certain examinations, you have got to pass them, and then when you pass your final examination, they call you and give you a certificate. So it is that God has arranged for us to be in a realm where we will be tested in all points and overcome in all points. Yeah. So what he did, he knew that a beautiful angel named Lucifer, whom he had made with the power to overshadow heaven. Now, as I say, preaching is not word, but it's power. Paul said it. He said, preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And if you preach with words, then you ought to stop. You ought to go and ask God, let me preach with power. Yes. Now, the angels of great power, an angel walks through that door and everybody feels a certain feeling. He doesn't preach. He doesn't come and open a big sermon. But he does one thing like this and he overshadows the minds of everybody. So preaching is power, and God expects that when we come together, we should have the power to impart, not so much in words, but in overshadowing. Amen. And so all of you as parts of the body, you should be transmitting feelings to the body, or deliverances to the body, which you have received within your section, for you are only a section of a great big body. So preaching then is overshadowed. And so God said that Satan was the cherub that overshadowed it. He covered heaven. God in his high heaven sent down a message to the second heaven, and they got the will of God implanted in them, and they go down and they overshadow heaven. And this angel was a beautiful angel. He was among the greatest God made, and God allowed him to overshadow heaven with music and with glory. I wish I could really put it in you. You know what God brought to me? He said, the Bible said, God breathed into a piece of clay, and the clay became a man. Flesh, clay, dirt outside there. One minute, the next minute, it was flesh. And it had all the nerves and the blood and everything in it. Why? Because God had that in his mind. If God had breathed on a piece of stick to dance or become a man, just as he wanted, because you see, he had that creation in him, and he wanted to create from that piece of earth what he wanted in his mind. So what came forth was what God wanted in his mind, and don't let anybody deceive you. He was a beautiful man, pure, holy, sinless. But he had one capacity, the capacity to sin if he wanted to. God would not take that away from him. So not only the angels were made like that, but Adam was made like that too. So God had to make people like that, because here was heaven, three heavens, one, two, three. First one, where God dwells in all the magnitude of his power, where he had to shield himself, insulate himself, cover himself with thick clouds between him and the other beings, for they couldn't stand the blaze of light. And then the Bible said God is pure light, and there is no darkness in him, neither even a shadow. Amen. Blessed be the God. He had to hide himself there. And then here we find a big, powerful archangels. Scripture, Ezekiel 28, describes them as stones of fire. Stones of fire. You know what fire means? Fire means that which changes everything that it comes upon. Fire changes the frequency, it changes the consistency of every other substance. Amen. And when God said these angels were stones of fire, he meant they were blazing ones, full of light and power to change other beings. And so these angels brought down the life to the other angels and to the lesser beings. And so this is the way God operated. Then Adam was made down here in a realm here, and this realm was called Eden. God meant that Adam should leave Eden and go up into the third heaven. Amen. But instead of Adam going this way, he fell down this way. Amen. And when Adam fell, we find that Satan occupied Adam's realm. So he became prince of the power of the air. And therefore, God required in Jesus Christ man not to go back to Eden, but to pass through Eden and to go to the third heaven and to go to the second heaven and to go to the first heaven. Blessed be to God. Where do I get that? It's right there in your Bible. He said he shall lift us far above all principalities and powers in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's Ephesians 1. Praise God. But we won't deal with that now. We can deal with that another time. But here we find Adam going down instead of going up. So now Adam has to go 2 degrees up into the third heaven. And then we understand that the heavens are coming down to the earth. Said, behold, God has tabernacled himself in man. That's what the Bible said. He said the tabernacle of God is with men. I think we could translate it a little different. God has tabernacled himself in man. Hallelujah. And this is what the revelation brings us to, the final situation of what will happen. But let's go back to the story of what happened in heaven. And so Satan was given this great, There was no Satan. There was a pure, beautiful, holy, wonderful angel called Lucifer. And Lucifer means light, morning star, bright one. That's what it means. It has no bad meaning at all. And so this great angel had free will choice. So did all the other angels have. And God Almighty wanted to clean out heaven. And the Bible said, God allowed him to walk up and down through the stones of fire. And he spread insurrection, rebellion. What you see going on in the world now, with the young people and everybody rebelling against something. Amen. It is only the nature of Satan to rebel. And so he rebelled against God because first of all he wanted heaven for himself. The Bible said he wanted to put his throne above the throne of God. So we can see what's happening now. Pardon me. As the moment God threw him out of one heaven, he lodged in the second heaven. And this heaven, the starry heavens, and the human being, which is God's dwelling place, God is building humanity so that he, God, might have children. Did you ever hear of God having children? He had one only begotten son. And the Bible said, Isaiah 53 says that he shall see of his seed and he shall be satisfied. Amen. That means Jesus was going to have a generation.
Amen.
And you know, Matthew chapter 1 says that there were 42 generations until Christ. And when we counted it, somebody made a mistake, you think, because there were only 41. And so we look into Isaiah and we see that Jesus is going to have seed. So that Jesus' generation has been going on for the past 2,000 years. And we are the Jesus generation. Amen. So we are the 42nd generation, and we are to come forth as children of God, sons of God, full-fledged sons, even as Christ Jesus, and God will have children. And then God's sons will begin to multiply, and will fill all the stars, and will take over Andromeda. and we'll take over all the faraway galaxies that we don't know about this evening. It sounds kind of weird to you, eh? Why you think that, yeah? One thing I know about God, he never made anything except he had a purpose in doing it. And so we know that God is planning that his son should inhabit not only this earth, but every other earth that he has made. Now let's go back to the basic point. So therefore, what happened in the heavenlies is happening on earth. In the heavenlies, we have a tabernacle, outer court, holy place, holy of holies. On earth, we have a tabernacle given to us by Moses as a type of the tabernacle, outer court, holy place, holy of holies. And he said the pattern of the things in the heavens are the same pattern that we have down on earth here. And you are the tabernacle of God, outer court, holy place, holy of holies, soul and spirit. So we find that God allowed this rebellion in hell and in heaven, and he knew about it, and he said nothing. He just allowed the rebellion to go on. Why? It's the wisest, it's the most blessed, it's the most wonderful God that we can ever conceive. God just allowed the rebellion to go on because God knew that right, that holiness, that goodness is greater than evil, and he knew that holiness and goodness and righteousness would overcome without his striving to do anything about it. So he allowed the devil to go on, and you know what the devil did? He got heaven cleaned up. He became the scavenger. And he cleaned up all in heaven that wasn't 100% for God. He cleaned out heaven and he delivered heaven from everything that would in the future rebel against God. So that all the angels that were left in heaven were those who for time and eternity and forever, they would want God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might. They would want God and God alone. God just allowed them to go through that test, and he allowed those who did not want God to move out. And so they alienated. They became aliens. They became alien spirits, if you understand what I mean. The only way I can make you understand it is like the comics would talk about alien life coming from Mars. Something, a life that has nothing to do with our life. It's opposite, it's contrary, it's diametrically opposed to our life. So the life that we have in Christ is exactly opposite to the life or the death that is coming out from these spirits. They had the power to create and to recreate. And what did they create? They created devils. So they took themselves as a base, and they created themselves into devils, and so Lucifer became Satan, and all the other spirits changed their names, and they became other names. And I don't know if you ever heard some of these names, but they saw the names alone sound terrible. They themselves changed their natures. You see, everything that they had in their minds for themselves, they gave themselves those characters, those attributes, and they became what they thought in their hearts, and they became devils. Far beyond the imagination of men, you cannot imagine what a real devil is. You just difficult to imagine how wicked, how evil a devil could be. So, because of this condition, they fell down into God's heaven. From one heaven, they fell to the second heaven. Jesus died, his blood knocked them down. And so they occupy now the heaven of man, which is our realm. Now we are rising up, and what's going to happen? They'll be kicked out of this heaven. They'll have nowhere else to go. And so they won't be able to torment humanity anymore. They'll be put off on an off frequency. That's the only way I can describe it, brethren. A frequency, like put them off, that they can't reach you. They will be right here, as it were, and yet they can't reach you. It's like a gulf fixed between us and them. Why? Because we are going to rise out of their frequency. You understand? This is what is happening. Our frequency is increasing. In other words, the power of God is something that draws all things into itself. And we are God's negative. God is a great positive, and we are God's negative. And we are feeding from God and being drawn into his positive. So when we are drawn up into his nature, the enemy will not be able to touch us. Now we come back to the 7 points of warfare. Now, every attribute of the Spirit is one that you have got to gain by experience. You can't overnight, amen, you can't overnight become a seasoned warrior by maybe planting a capsule into you and you just come off and work like a program thing. You can't do it. You've got to go through these areas and overcome. Now, the Paul so beautifully put it, put on the helmet of salvation. Satan is above us in many ways. You know what? One brother, a little deacon I had in the church one day, he speaks very slowly and he said, "Brethren, you know," he said, Satan is all devil. He has no God in him. He has nothing in him that would prevent him being a full-fledged devil. And he said, "You know what's our problem?" He said, "We are not all God." So here we are. He's above us because he is all completely, the brother said, he's pure devil. He is pure unadulterated devil. And we are not all that we ought to be. Therefore he has the edge over us in devilry. You know, these guys said that some of the men, somebody was talking about Wild Bill Hickok, and he said why he survived, he always shot first and then asked the question, what was the man going to do afterwards? One day he had a whole crowd before him, and he was there covering the whole crowd, and those guys said that if you just move a hair in your head, you'd shoot it off. And his deputy came rushing through the crowd and he shot him dead before he knew what happened. His own deputy. He had no right to move. And so, praise be to God, it seems to me as if the most desperate one is the one that always survives. Now, Satan is so desperate, so devilish, that unless we get up in God above his standard, we will never be able to survive. He is above us, therefore, because he's a spirit and we are just spiritual, you see. And God said, put on the helmet of salvation. Now this is the mind, brethren, and the helmet covers the brain and covers that part of the man that is most vulnerable. and it is where his mind operates. Now, if you notice that God says that your mind must have the mark of God, he marked them in their foreheads, and that is a type of the nature of God being incorporated in the mind. You know, 3/4 of our troubles are in our mind. What gives people trouble is what they think about. If you see somebody having trouble and they can't overcome and they can't live a Christian life, ask them what they think about. And you will find that if you can get the people to think about God, to think about the Word of God, to think about life, to think about whom they are, what you are, that you are a son of God, though, don't watch your actions, because if you use your eyes, you are a dead man. You can't look. If you look at the natural things around you, if you follow the natural feelings that oppress you, that stir around you, you lose your soul so easily. You have got to have your mind covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the helmet of salvation. It said, put on the helmet of salvation, wherein ye may be able to be delivered from the darts of the wicked one. What do you think the darts of the devil are? Thoughts. You go out the street, a thought hits you. And he's hitting you with that thought because 5 years' time he's going to catch you on that one thought. This thing we are dealing with, he's been around for a long time. And he's been around long before we, and he is the greatest psychologist that you could ever imagine. He studied your mind. I mean, I don't want to frighten anybody, but do you know that the devil has special spirits assigned to special people studying them and turning in a report on certain people? I mean, I have been wrestling with him for 25 years, and Satan made a lot of mistakes with me. I say mistakes. I have tempted Satan, caught him, and won him, because I deliberately did certain things to make him make the next move, and he did it. I caught him. I mean, I don't want to tell you too many long stories, you know, but it can be done, that he is studying you, and he is looking out for every weak spot in you, and every time he gets a weak spot, sometimes he stores them, you know, put them on the shelf, don't use them. He gets you up into a high position where in your weak spot would knock down a few dozen people. Amen. And then when you are way up there, he presses the button. He's got you under his thumb, you know, like a blackmail. And this is what we have seen time and time again, the area of your mind. Oh God, may God help you, brethren, to protect your mind from what you think. Somebody rushes to me, I'm going to tell you about Sister Jane. I said, look here, ease down a little. It's going to disturb my mind. Learn to protect your mind. There are some things it's better for you not to hear. Do you know God could make each of us here today very happy or very sad just by what he tells us? And God will hide a thing from you right up till it hits you. Boom! Amen. He knows how you're going to react. But so therefore he doesn't give you any previous knowledge of it. You get right up to it and you act because of what was built in you. So your actions, though they may be spontaneous, they are well programmed actions from what you have been doing and what you have been thinking in the past. I'm dealing with the first realm, the helmet of salvation. Now, upon this score, you can definitely know what you will do under a given circumstance if you previously get your mind into God and get God into your mind. Amen. So what you think is going to govern your lives now and even forever. Tomorrow is today, and yesterday is today. So there's no tomorrow, no yesterday. For yesterday is today. Am I right? What you do today, what you reap today, how you think today, is because of what you thought yesterday and many yesterdays. Therefore, what you think today will be what you will be tomorrow. So today is tomorrow. So there is neither tomorrow nor yesterday. Everything is today. If you die today, you won't be around tomorrow. If you live today, you're going to live tomorrow. And this is the whole crux of the matter, that God is saying to a people at this time that if you don't get your mind in the right place, when the trouble hits, you will be on the wrong side of it. In other words, I'm talking about your soul, because you know your mind is your soul. And this helmet of salvation is that which shelters your soul. It could be expanded. This could take a long message. I want you to think about it. That your thoughts are the chief thing that you need to control. If you think that you are a son of God, then that will lift you up to God. If you think that you are part of the divine plan from the very before the foundation of the world, because the Bible said ye were in God, in Christ, before the world was. Amen. Can you believe that?
Amen.
You were in God, in Christ, before the world was. Because God had a thought in his mind. And you were that thought. This man, at this time, is the consistent programming and what you call breathing program of God for 6,000 years. Beat that. You, every one of you here was part of the plan. God wanted a man that thinks just as you think. For with your thoughts, he can bring you right up into what he wants you to be. And this is the man who is the second year of the tribulation man. You are the people who God has appointed to be in the tribulation.
Amen.
Can you believe that? Can you figure that? That God had planned to have somebody, even with your vacillations, even with your weaknesses, to think just as you are here this afternoon.
Amen.
God planned this long ago. 6,000 years, and so he's got you now. Now God wants to move you up in your soulish realm so that you might be able to withstand what is to come.
Mm-hmm.
For this tribulation began in 1970. Without contradiction, I say the tribulation began in 1970. If it didn't, then let's wait and see. But I want to be waiting on the right side.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? I wanted to be waiting on the right side. Suppose it was not God that told me so. It was another spirit that told me the tribulation began in 1970. Then he would only get me more diligent. Amen. With God. Because if this is so, then by 1973 things will be at such a point that the beast and the false prophet will be revealed. Now, remember, these won't be revealed to the world. Because the world won't be saying it's a beast, he'll be saying it's a Christ. This is a God-man, they're going to say. He said, this man is the one we've been looking for all the while to cure all our ills and to take care of the world and bless us. Don't you see what I'm talking about? So, the Bible showed that this great evil one will not be revealed until there's a falling away first, and then this evil one shall be revealed. But to whom? To the church. And according to how things seem to be going now, I feel sure it's on schedule. Yeah. Amen. Things are just right on schedule, because how things are going now, with the fireworks, we will soon be. But where will we be? In Christ. Our only hiding place is here. Here, inside of your mind and in your heart, you must have the sure assurance of God. Earthquakes mustn't frighten you. Rebellions mustn't frighten you. Wars and atom bombs mustn't frighten you. You must go talk to your God while the earth is roaring.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. For your God is greater than all that happens around you. And the hiding place is in the rock, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be caught up in running. Don't be caught up in that running stuff, brother. I heard them talking about if they could get only a warning before, they would tell the people where to run to. You know what? More would die on the road than in the earthquake. Trying to get away. More people would die from panic and sheer fright on that road in trying to get away than in any earthquake. Amen. So praise God, the helmet of salvation is a fact of foolish realm. The blood of Jesus Christ must be over your mind, brother. Amen. Let me just make an incursion into your business. Many of us do not believe what I'm saying. And how I know that we don't believe what I'm saying? Because in our daily lives, we still live the same way as if we had that 100 years.
Yes.
Amen. Now, if I had stocks and shares, when I hear what's going to happen, and I really believe, I would go and get the best price for them. It may be a little Jacob in that too. But I would do that. If I was going into any big business that would take a 20-year contract and I could do without going into it, I would try to get myself out and get myself ready, not mixed with the system, because the deeper we are in the system, it's going to be the harder to get out.
Amen.
Amen. So this is the reason why God is sending the warning to the church, to the people of God who will believe, that they might not give suck in those days. I don't think he was talking a natural baby talk. I think that giving suck is something deeper, that you are giving life, you are giving forth life to something else, life from your own body.
Amen.
Amen. To us, whether it be a system or an organization or whatever it is, and God was saying that if in those days, it's going to be pretty hard for those. Let me just explain to you what flashes before me. I have a friend who is so deep in government business, and he's so mixed up with government. He's a doctor and he lectures for the government and so on, so on, so on, the different schools. And I said to him one day, I said, boy, I don't know. He said, if this tribulation should really hit men like you, would be hit first and hit hard. Because the first thing they are going to do is to give you that questionnaire, and if you are not one of them, they are not going to keep you in position, and they're going to really hit you hard first. And you know, they offered him a very big post immediately after that, and he turned it down. It was going to put him right in the limelight, but he turned it down, he backed down. He said he didn't feel in his spirit he should go any further. And I do believe that if we understand this, not from me, God forbid that what I am saying should hit you as one man say so. Unless you can say God said so.
Amen.
You're not supposed to act upon it. For there is to be the overshadowing of the Spirit, even as we are here, and the Spirit of God must testify to you, and you must be able to go in and say, God, tell me. Let me know. Amen. So you see, this is what I am depending on, that the Spirit of God is going to speak to His people. And we are not being governed by man anyhow. You must not accept a word without the thing strikes you in here as 100% absolutely right, and then you act upon it. Never act upon a half word. If you not quite sure, don't do it. This is a very good way of following God. Never follow God upon a half voice or upon a half thought. Now, you must be 100% sure that this is God before you move. Otherwise, don't move. Stand up there, and if you must die, die there. Don't move, for your God will not allow you to be there without a witness. Don't forget that. The businessman comes and says, brother, if you don't buy it now, it will be gone by morning. Praise God. Let it go. Let me pay down on it. Hold it down. Something wrong. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Praise God. This is the trick of the devil. So, the helmet of salvation is a covering of the soul. That which keeps the soul firm in God, the blood of Jesus Christ. If you have not got that, you haven't got a chance. Let me tell you, any soldier can take off a helmet and throw it away. Get his head shot off. I've had a friend who was shot in his head, and his helmet, just a bullet took it and it was just torn off his head, and he wasn't scratched. That's the use of the helmet. You need to have the knowledge of the blood in all your business.
Amen.
Never you kick the blood aside and say, let me do this on my own. It's my business. I don't want anybody to fool around. And you rush off on your own. Make sure you have the blood on your business.
Amen.
On your life. In the morning you're going out, make sure, I'm going out in the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
It's a consciousness. Ready to note, you see what I'm saying? It's a blood consciousness. Not a meaning to say, well, this one is my business. I have no, God says, must go and take unto yourself a wife. One brother came to me, he said, God said, take unto yourself a wife. He didn't say you must ask God for a wife. So let me go grab one. Yeah, he took. Needless to tell you, it didn't work out. Huh? Take unto yourself a wife. He said, you don't have to ask God. God said, take unto yourself a wife. Now, all these little devil use these scriptures to try to defeat people. But this is not the way we're going to act. You must act when you feel the Spirit of God moving within your soul. Why? Because you have the Spirit of God within you. And God says that it is the overshadowing of the Holy Ghost that brings the birth of the man-child. I'm not speaking in mysteries. Many of us don't have the Christ in us. We have the work of Christ, we have the Holy Ghost, but that Christ seed, which is the birth of a new personality within our soul, within our mind, within our emotions, within our will, and within our desires, we have not yet got this insemination. In other words, we are not pregnant with Jesus, with Christ. So we need to obey the Holy Ghost before we get this pregnancy. For God is bringing forth a people who will divorce themselves. Now, a better word than that. Who will die to themselves. Not just a divorcement, but a death. Who will die to themselves and who will grow up in Christ. Or in other words, who will let themselves die out and Christ grow up in. So as we go through the different realms of warfare, we are being made. We are being created. For ye were created in who? Him. Isn't that what the scripture said? We are being created as we go to the different realms. Now remember, I told you that Satan created himself. I'm sorry. Lucifer created Satan. It's the same thing anyhow. And all these angels, they had the power to create. You also have the power to create. You better believe it. You better believe it. I didn't know I had the power to create, but God told me to obey him. And through obedience, I created one day a tongue in a boy's mouth. The boy had no tongue. I didn't know. I only obeyed. God said, stretch out your hand, lay your hands on him. I lay my hands on him. God said, pray for him. I said, Father, heal him in Jesus' name. I didn't know what else to say. God said, tell him to talk. I said, talk, boy. God come back and said, tell him what to say. I said, say Jesus. And the boy said, Jesus. And at that moment, the boy had a new tongue planted in his mouth as a direct creation from heaven. I had nothing to do with it. All I did was obey. Therefore, through obedience of the Spirit that is in you, amen, you are going to receive a new nature, a new creation, and this being will grow up within you, and you will be more than you thought you could be. Because some of us going around thinking, oh, poor me, I can't make it. I won't ever make it that high. Oh, no. You won't ever make it. Praise God. The quicker you die, the better it is. Because we don't want you to make it at all. We want you to pass away from the scene and a new nature to grow up in you, that you see yourself doing, walking, moving, and it's like a dream. It was never you, and you know it's not you, like I know I had nothing to do with the tongue that came in the boy's mouth. Therefore, God is saying to you that the overshadowing of the soulish realm, as this helmet overshadows this man's head, that the overshadowing of the soulish realm is that which brings within you a new nature, even the nature which you create within you by your submission to him who has the seed to do the job. And Mary did it. She accepted the Christ and he was planted in her. You do it. You accept this by obedience and the new nature will grow in you. Now, let me go back on obedience. What must I obey? Clean thoughts, clean desires, clean intentions. God speak to you, whatever your mind tells you, that is it. If you have a mind that telling you wrong things, then do it. And you will find out how wrong you are. Forgive me, but that's the only way I can advise. Because if you have a mind that is telling you wrong things and you don't operate, it means that you'll never know you're wrong. Let's go back. God said one day to my wife, He said to her, there is no, she was saying, Lord, but it is my own mind. It is my own thoughts. He said, there is no, what was the word, babe? Oh, there is no passing thought to the trusting child of God. Watch it again. There is no passing thought to the trusting child of God. You are trusting God to speak through your mind. A thought hits you, test it out. Yes, sir. Examine it. See if it is God. And then you know it is God. Don't just leave it. Oh, sir, that was just a passing thought. But God speaks to us so much and so often, and we disobey so many times that he starts speaking to us. And we never miss it. You understand? Your mind tell you to go out there and do so and so. Go and do it. Your mind tell you to go out there. You don't know why. Go. Just see. Go and see. See what's going on. Because very often it's not your mind, but this is how God works. He works through your mind. How would he contact you except he came through your mind?
Amen.
Praise be to God. This is a chain. God. And he speaks to the spirit, and the spirit speaks to your spirit, and your spirit speaks to your soul. The Holy Spirit and man's spirit, and man's spirit speak to man's soul. That's how it goes. God has to break down himself in order to reach you. That's why you have a spirit that can contact God's spirit. The spirit is up on a higher velocity, of a higher frequency than your soul. Then he speaks to your soul, who is on a higher frequency than your body. And your soul speaks to your body, which is your brain, and your brain executes the job. So God works through you by a chain reaction. And this is the holy place. Let me get it right. What am I saying the head is? The holy place. Look, your soul is your holy place. We have the Holy of Holies, which is your spirit, the holy place, which is your soul, and your body being the outer court. Amen? Good. Let me move from that now. So, when you have overcome the devil up there, surely he's going to fall to your right hand. Now, your right hand is the hand of your spirit. The hand of the spirit. I do not know, brethren, if you have ever seen a man who overcomes the flesh and falls in the spirit. Have you ever seen a man who overcomes the flesh, yet he falls in the spirit? Well, I've seen it. Some men, they have come into God and they were saved and they overcame the flesh. But when it came to spiritual things, they fell down and fell right into false doctrines and go off on a tangent and miss God. You see, anytime you beat Satan at the flesh, he is going to come at you in the spirit. And he's going to try to catch you with your doctrine, with your church going, with your everything pertaining to your spiritual walk. Watch it now. He couldn't catch Jesus in the flesh. Therefore, what he did, he went to Jesus and said, "Boy, you're hungry. Your body needs food badly." He said, "Stones are outside there." He said, "Just speak to those stones and they'll become bread and you'll be all right." Amen. So Jesus pushed him away. "Man shall not live by bread alone." But that first attack was a physical for his body. The next attack, he was going to attack him on his spiritual side. He attacked him now. He said, "Wasn't it that you said you wanted to be king of the world?" He said, "I'll make you king right now. I'll make you king." And say, "All these kingdoms, all these, I'll just give them over to you if you just recognize me." Just recognize him. Say, "Well, I bow to you." And you see, he couldn't get him there. He said, "Okay." He said, "You are the Son of God, aren't you?" He said, "Just jump down off the pinnacle of the temple and just float down right before everybody and show them that you're the Son of God. That's easy. Just declare yourself, man." He said, "Jump off." So often I've seen people in their spiritual lives saying they are the Son of God so they can do anything. We had a sister who died some months ago. She thought that she could go through any red light because she was the Son of God. Mm-hmm. They walked around the car and they slapped the car and they blessed the car. Said, "This car shall never meet in an accident," and so on, so on, so on. And she invited the sister to church, and the sister went with her to church, and she said it was the most awful time, few minutes she ever spent in all her life. Said, because the sister reached the red light and she pushed her foot down into that gas pedal and off she went across the red light, and woo, 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 and she just barely escaped. And she said, "Why did you do that?" She said, "Oh, you don't worry." Said, "I do that all the while, and God just taking care of me." Cast yourself down, the Son of God. Well, she didn't go back with her. She managed to reach home safely that night. And well, she said it didn't go a month that she ran head on into a crash, and they just picked up the pieces. See, so as sons of God, you have got to be not breaking any rules of God at all. Don't break the rules of nature. Don't willfully say, "I'm a son of God, man, I don't have to put on shoes. I go out in the cold. I don't have to, you know. Blessed be the God, I'm so conscious of my body as being clay that I take care of it. I don't do any extra things. Man, if the cold catch me, well, my sonship has to show itself." Amen. Bless God. If I fall sick, then God will have to do something about it. But I'm going to say, "God, I did everything that was right. I didn't willfully sick myself. And if I made a mistake and got sick, I said, well, God, I made a mistake. You've got to heal me." So here is the situation. Your right hand is the hand of the Spirit. And you've got to be careful that you don't fall in the Spirit where you had overcome in the flesh. Amen. Satan tempting you in the Spirit. We have not undergone all our temptations in the Spirit. And there is a lot left for us to undergo. And the devil is going to come to us and tempt us in the Spirit. Be careful. Look out. Now, we go to the third area. I should say that your defense is the Word of God. When the devil attacked Jesus, he said that it is written, that the devil, that Satan misquoted the Bible, and he said that God says you must throw yourself down and he will give his angels charge over you lest you dash your foot against a stone. So Jesus defended himself with the Word of God. as a change in your in my talking, just turn to Luke 4. Verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from him. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. It is written that he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. But it was never written that you must cast yourself down. You see, he said, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone, which shows an accident. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Amen. So Jesus used the sword, which is the word of God. Now, if you don't have a sword, how are you going to use it? God said you must, he will bring the scripture to your what? Remembrance. How can you remember something you never read? Amen. You have got to read this thing. Amen. I do not believe in wild reading. Wild reading is taking up your Bible and say, okay, I'm going to just study from Genesis to Revelation. While you are in Genesis, God might want to show you something in Ephesians. While you are in Revelation, God might want to show you something in Genesis. Therefore, what we must do is keep meditating upon the things of the kingdom, the things pertaining to God. Then we will have a lot to look up when we come home in the afternoon. Because if you meditate on the things pertaining to God, and you things come to you, you jot them down to look up, when you come home in the evening, you'll have a lot of things to look up, and that will not be just the same as going thumbing through your Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You understand? So I'm just giving you a method of studying God's word. Now, therefore, we go to the third area. When Satan cannot get you in your spiritual area, he's going to hit you in your flesh. Amen. Satan said to God, he said, God, skin for skin. He said, God, skin for skin, give me the man and let me touch his skin, and you will see that man will serve you. Brethren, I don't know if your skin has been suffering anything, but if it hasn't been, then it's going to, and it should. For, amen, you know, the only way that a man can really prove what he really believes is when his own body is threatened with his belief. You hear many men stand up stoutly and say things, and when the whip is put on their backs, or they are faced with a gun or a knife is at their throats, they let down and they talk, and they, you know what I mean? And man is used to torturing men to get them to talk. So you can well see that this is a way of the devil. Ancient way of the devil. An ancient way of the devil, where they torture people, put you on the great torture to make you talk. You read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and you see where many of those men were tortured, and one girl was even tortured into confessing things that she was not guilty of. And they used the same confessions to kill her and her family. So I want you to know that this is an old-time method of the devil to torture this human body, because he feels, he believes it, it is his doctrine, skin for skin. A man will hurt you. be dead if you just give me his body. And God just left poor old Job into Satan's hand, and for 3 years Satan tore that skin off him until he had to live in ashes, boils all over, putrefying sores. And the man held on, and that little man beat him straight and left because of his tenacity in what he believed. Said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that I shall see him for myself. He said that though the worms will take away little pieces of my flesh, he saw the worms crawling off with his flesh. And he said, worms, do your dirty work. But he said, I know that this same flesh which you are eating, I'm going to see God in this flesh for myself and not another. No, isn't that some faith, brother? 3 years, what would you do? Some of us sick a few months, and 2 months, 3 months, and boy, we're just about ready to give up. We'll do anything to be well. Oh, we'll do anything, we'll even deny God just to get better. But there are some little people who the devil won't eat. They'll just hold on, and if it's dead, okay, let it be. So here we see that this third area is the area where faith, the field of faith, quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Only faith is going to save you when your flesh is attacked. Not only flesh, but in your business. Everything pertaining to this life, Satan is going to shake the foundation worse than the earthquake you had here. He is going to shake everything that can be shaken, and anything that can be shaken is going to move it. And if you have your faith in it, God help you. God help you if your faith is in these little wretched things around. Amen. Houses and lands and money and all like that. God help you, for he's going to shake all that can be shaken. This is the third area. Brethren, it must come to pass. It must happen. This is part of our overcoming. The quicker you overcome, the better it is. You know something? I'll tell you a secret. Some people overcome the thing before it happens. And when it happens, they don't even notice it. Yes, you can reach to a realm in God where you overcome the thing before it happens, and when it happens, you just walk over it and you survive. Amen. Now, the fourth area is before you. When you go forward, you find that the devil is just like Kilroy. Oh, he was there. Everything you stretch out and put your hand to, Satan was there. And in our lives, the enemy will get one of the areas he gets over us is that he's always a step ahead of us sometimes. There's a time in your life where Satan is always a step ahead of you. Amen. As you go there, you were there before, and you find only destruction. And you've got to overcome by patience. In the realm where the enemy walks before you, you've got to overcome by patience. That when you reach there, you know that the devil is before you, and that God is also before him. So in front of you, there's only one piece of armament that you have: righteousness. I don't know if you can see what I'm talking about, but when the devil gets to your boss and he makes trouble against you, and gets to your friends and he stirs up against you, and you find rejection, you are being rejected like an alien thing from your society and from your friends and from your loved ones and your families, then you'll know what I'm talking about. Amen. The only thing that's going to help you is the breastplate of righteousness. Breastplate of righteousness. And he said, your loin gird above with truth. You see what I'm talking about now? The only way you're going to stand upright is if your loins are girded about with truth and you have on the breastplate of righteousness. We move from there to the fifth area, and you find that Satan is behind you. It's a very bad place for him to be, because Paul was a Roman soldier, and when he began to speak of the armament of the soldier, he was speaking specifically of the type of armament that the Roman soldier has, and his back is naked. He has no armament behind him. If he turns his back to the enemy, he's a dead man. But in this case, we find Satan behind us. And brethren, I want you to know that it is only, you have no defense behind you. The shield of faith can be slung over your shoulder. The sword which is in your right hand can move from side to side and defend you all around. But if you turn your back to the enemy, you are dead. And yet the enemy is behind you. Don't worry about it. Let me come straight. The devil right now is talking about a lot of us. He goes behind our backs and he stirs up all kind of like it. Amen. He tries to disfigure you in your back. He tries. If you are a man that likes a good image, likes to know that everybody think well of you, woe be unto you. Because Satan is behind you and he's giving you a hard time. But if you are walking in the heavenly, you don't care what he says. You just know that he's a liar from the beginning and you just keep going on. Praise God. Really, the fifth area, and Satan comes to you and says, okay boy, you're with me. Said, I've tried you and everything, and you have beaten me. He comes and pats you on the back. Say, boy, you're great. You're just great. Brethren, I told you already, I went to this meeting and the sister jumped up and said, thus said the Lord, you are Elijah. I know I'm not Elijah. No, I had to know that before. Because somebody tried it before, and none greater than a spirit tried it before. And I had my lesson before, so she couldn't tell me what I am, neither could any spirit get up in her and tell me what I am, because I know what I am and I know what I ought to be, which I am not. You see, that's what I know. You see, so I just, you know, a rebuke just came up and I covered it down because I was going to say it's a lie. But it would cut her down so much, and she was such a nice person. So I just kept quiet, and she went on. She said, God told me. I said, sister, we are all Elijah. We are all Moses. We are all Elijah. We are. And I had to show her when God was bringing up an Elijah company of people, a Moses company, and a greater than Moses. I hope that before I leave here, I might have the privilege of talking to you about what God has been showing me about prophecy. We haven't even started to prophesy yet. In other words, we have the gift of prophecy, but we have no prophets here. We want prophets like Moses, like Samuel, say, oh boy, don't worry, the ashes are found, but you are now being sought by the whole of Israel. He said, when you go out there, you'll meet two men with loaves of bread, and they'll give you bread, and as you take the bread from them, you are going to prophesy, and so on and so on. It just went directly right down the line. That's prophecy, brethren. That's a prophet. That's a prophet ministry. But the prophecy that comes in the church is, say, the Joel said, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. We all prophesy. We are not all prophets. God is bringing up a body ministry wherein, brother, when we really want a word of prophecy, we have got to turn to one or two people. When we really want a word, you know, of wisdom, we got to turn to another few. And those people don't necessarily are preachers. They might have no preaching ministry. See, but we need to get into body ministry, wherein the different sections of the body operates and brings deliverance. Sure, just like that. I always say, if we had had half of a sense, we the preachers all the time, we would go and we would come together and form one mighty force that no power in hell or on earth could resist. For we have the potential to right here in this modern church, but we have no sense of coming together. How would you like to see Kathleen Kuhlman in a meeting with some of our greatest preachers as a man bringing the word, and she doing her part, and some other prophets I know doing their part, and you have a meeting with those people in Los Angeles, and all the people coming and getting deliverance, those who are specially anointed with one specific part of the body, and not a hand trying to walk like a foot, or a head trying to stand up on the floor and turn the whole body upside down. You see what I'm talking about? And this is the body ministry that God is leading us into. And praise God, I pray that this group of people will begin to move in such a ministry that people will have to come from everywhere to be blessed and delivered. Like the people, the Queen of Sheba traveled across the continent to come and get a word of wisdom from Solomon. Because he was a man anointed with wisdom. Amen. Let's go on. So we are on the sixth area, wherein you have overcome the devil. You have got an end time message. You are better than the Baptist. You are better than the man down the road. You are above this one and above that one. You have a better word of prophecy. You have a better word of knowledge. And you are just up on top of the devil. That's where he wants you. Because he will humble himself under you there, let you kick him around. But your feet are the most vulnerable part of your body. And he knows where to touch you under your foot bottom when the time comes and topple the man. I've seen many men topple because they had the devil under their feet. They became mighty men. Their names were written across the front page of many papers. And they became powerful preachers. And they went out and, oh, after a while they were finished. Because the devil hit them in their high places. He was under their feet. They were kicking him all over the place. And he just allowed himself to be kicked. But under your foot is the worst place. If you are not sharp. So he said, let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now what does he mean by the preparation? Do you know you can mix two or three things together, substances together, and you can drink them or eat them, and they are quite good for eating. And you take the same three substances and mix them in another proportion and they kill you. I know, for instance, a plant we have in Jamaica, we call it cassava. I don't know if you know cassava here. Now, bitter cassava is deadly poisonous. But one of our best thing we make, a flat bread, we call it a bami, is made from bitter cassava. But it has got to be treated a special way. You grate it, and you wring the poison out of it, and that poison, you wash it, and you take it and it makes the starch that you have. The little boxes of starch you buy, cassava starch. It's the best starch, and it makes the starch. The starch is not poisonous. Neither is the trash that is left behind poisonous if you put it in the sun and make it stay for 3 days with the sunlight in it. It's quite good. But if you go and you take up that thing and drink it or eat it, it kills you instantly. It's deadly poison. So what I am saying is that there is a certain preparation that the gospel have, a certain mixture, that if you take it in the wrong mixture, it kills you. But if you take it in the right mixture, it makes you alive. And there, when Paul said the preparation, you know what he was thinking of? The apothecary art of mixing. Amen. He was thinking of these herbalists who mix and compound different things together. And he said, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet has got to be shod in a special preparation that you might walk. One foot heavier than the other, you can't walk good. You've got to have proper shoes on to be able to walk. Your shoes might be pinching you just a little. You go hopping around. God is trying to say to these people that the reason some we can't walk in the Word of God is because the Spirit has got to be balanced with the Word. Now, some of us walk by Spirit. I've seen people say the Spirit tell them to do things, as I gave you the joke of what happened to me in my church tonight. I was preaching and we had a beautiful service and the Holy Ghost just came over and covered those people. And boy, it was an altar service. People were just weeping, coming up to the altar. Suddenly, a girl cried out at the back, rushed up to the altar, pulled back her fist and she gave a man. And by the time I looked around, she had knocked three men at the altar. And she was giving them right and left and speaking in tongues. And I tell you, I saw her give a man an uppercut. And the man fairly lifted off there. And he was blind mad. Other men had to run and hold him. It's an altar call, you know, it's church I'm talking about. So she was speaking in tongues. So we said, what's happened to you? She said, God, tell me to lick him, man. You know, that's Jamaican. She said, God, tell me to hit him. Because couldn't understand. But she felt sure that it was God's Spirit that tell her to hit him. And we have seen, we know they have a cult in Jamaica wherein they beat the spirit off of you, you know, the wrong spirit, you know. They got a long plaited cane and boy, they get down your back and beat off that wrong spirit off you. You better shout like they shout, or you go in there and you make a false shout and they come at you with a cane and they beat the devil out of you. Well, all these people claim that it's the Spirit tell them. One guy here in the United States the other day just got to plunge a knife into somebody, kill the person, and say the Spirit told him to. So, I mean, these are extreme cases I'm talking about. But in some way or the other, many of us have wrong actions which we claim the Spirit tells us to do. Now, if we were balanced with the Word of God, and our Spirit tells us to do something, we'll check it if it is the Word of God and the will of God, and we check it with other brethren who can pray with us and say, yes, we believe it's the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. But some of us feel, oh, God tell me to do it and I might do it and don't. No man can tell me what to do. God tell me. We have to be careful. And this is, it said, the preparation, the mixture of Word and Spirit is a delicate mixture. It's got to be mixed by God Himself. And you have got to have a balance inside here. Praise God. You got to have a balance within you. The hardy ones will be able to bear. Praise God. You got to have a balance within you to be able to mix the Word and the Spirit right. Amen. Too much of one, you get an explosion. Too much of the other, you get something else. Did it ever occur to you? Water outs fire. And fire and water are the same. Air mixed together, only in different proportions. Only in different proportions. So here we are with a preparation that God is speaking to people about in this hour. You've got to walk in the Spirit, but walk by the Word. Don't let the Spirit tell you anything that is contrary to the Word of God. For this devil we have nowadays is very smart as far as the Word of God is concerned. He can preach, you know. Let's go to the last one. Within the last and final battle is going to be won inside here. Don't try to control anybody until you can control yourself. In other words, your being must be under complete control by the Spirit of God which is within you. A man out of control is a man under the power of a demon spirit. A woman, a child out of control is one under the power of a demon spirit. I'll give you one last story. They said a little boy had a demon. And every preacher come would rebuke this demon from this little boy and pray for him. So, true to form, now I come along and they say to me, okay, rebuke this demon because we understand this boy has a demon. So I say, I will be friendly with the boy for a while, you know, and see what happens. So I got friendly with this little boy and friendly with him and friendly with him. So one day, what supposed to have been, this demon hit the boy. And he got wild mad with me. And he tore upstairs and he cursed me and he behaved wild. So I didn't say one thing. I took down the leather belt from the wall and got inside and got near enough to him, grabbed him and gave him the belt. And he sobered. He said, okay, all right. He said, okay, all right. All right. He said, all right. Don't tell that. Don't tell that. You promise me you won't tell daddy? Promise me you won't tell daddy? I said, sure, I promise you. You will promise me that you won't go behave like that. He said, okay, I won't do it again. And the boy was as sober and as steady, no spirit at all. But you know what? The boy heard them say that he had a spirit. And so he was getting away with a lot of things by pretending that it was a spirit, and he just cursed everybody, and oh, and nobody touched him, because it's a spirit. so. Our last victory will be within. And we have got to overcome the soul. Brethren, let me just say this as a last word to you. Your own mind, you have got to overcome your mind. Beware of what you think. If you want to control your thinking, think more about God and things pertaining to God, the kingdom of God. You've got to control your desires. For a man without desires is a man that Satan cannot attack in the flesh. If you have no desires, you don't want anything. You take what God provides, and amen. And you don't have strong wants, strong desires, you can escape the devil attack as far as the flesh is concerned, because he works upon your desires. If you can get your emotions under the blood of Jesus Christ, you won't be able to be attacked in your emotional realm. I can assure you that one of the greatest ways of getting your emotions under the blood is that when you feel wild, when you feel to move, when you feel rough inside, do nothing at all. If you feel blind, mad, I used to sweat and wet, completely wet with sweat, controlling myself, not saying a word when I'm feeling just killed. And I was a sinner. And God taught me how to control the wild emotions that would take me at times, even before I was saved. And when I was saved, I had to still get through further lessons how to control. And I still am getting lessons how to overcome these emotions so that the Christ might be able to take me over and win the victory from within. For that is the seventh realm of attack. Greater than that, brethren, you might get all the seven attacks one time. Amen. So, just know that you have got to overcome in order to be classed as an overcomer. God bless you. In Jesus' name.
This is the end of message, M031, 7 Areas of Overcoming.